Blog Talk Radio.
Friends, you're listening to Fast Forward Radio on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Fast Forward Radio is an audio production of The Speculist. You'll find us online at speculist.com. That's S-P-E-C-U-L-I-S-T.com. Or go straight to the blog at blog.speculist.com. At The Speculist and on Fast Forward Radio, we are all about a convergence of emerging technologies and emerging possibilities, which are at the heart of this, the greatest period of transformation in human history. Our world is changing in ways that are difficult to predict, sometimes even difficult to imagine. And Fast Forward Radio is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead and that will be here sooner than you think. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-blogger, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I'm super fantastic. How are you, my friend?
I'm also doing great. We have got a huge show tonight. We're going to do our very best with all the guests we have tonight to keep it straight and have some fun. So looking forward to this.
Absolutely.
One.
Well, we've got a whole panel, first panel show we've done in a while. Very psyched about that, particularly because of the topic that we're going to be discussing. We're going to be talking about the Build Conference, which occurred in Long Beach, California, just about 3 weeks ago. And we're going to hear about it from the inside. These are the folks who organized it and made it happen. So I think without any further ado, let's just bring out our panel.
Sounds good.
Okay, well, I'll begin by introducing Simone. Is it Syed? Is that correct? Did I get that right?
That is correct.
Oh, Simone Syed, thank you. She identifies as a biotechno-progressive, a builder of better futures, sustainable emerging techno-left, occasional poet, full-time ingenue, a gardener extraordinaire. She's expertly weird, an eco-geek, and a co-founder of Bill. She's a recent transplant from Tucson, Arizona, where she honed her skills in management and social architecture while practicing as a counselor for people suffering from substance disorders, running 3 car care enterprises, directing a special event, chairing various clubs and organizations on and off campus, and generally finding herself the eye of well-directed storms. She's a graduate of the University of Arizona with degrees in evolutionary biology and cognitive psychology. She was president of the H-Plus chapter at Tucson, a co-organizer of Sustainabil, a former grease monkey, an avid climber, a burner, and a skeptic. Simone, welcome to Fast Forward Radio.
Thank you very much for having us.
Well, we are delighted to have you.
Great. We also have tonight Alexis Bright. She recently accepted a part-time position with Voxer.com as office manager because who doesn't want to work for an awesome startup? It also helps to support her learning addiction. She enjoys learning about the effects of trauma and how to treat it, willpower, self-compassion, and meditation. Her long-term goal is to become a licensed psychotherapist. Currently, she has a part-time psychotherapy internship working with trauma survivors. Her hobbies include training for the Tough Mudder Run, coordinating events for friends, and spending time with loved ones. She is a co-founder of Bill, a founding member of Hike the Geek, and a lover of bacon. Welcome, Alexis.
Thank you.
You'll have to tell us
a little bit about that Mudder Run. Thanks for chiming in on the love of bacon. I think that's great. We don't get nearly enough of that on this show. So
that's right.
Yeah. Nice to hear the bacon lovers sounding off a little bit. All right, our next panel member is Cody Marks Bailey, an advocate and leader in open source, free culture, and distributed organizations. His focus on pragmatic approaches to solutions has led to the creation of the Creative Space, the first co-working office in Texas. He's also co-founder of the Bill Conference. And more recently, he has honed his sense of management and development towards entrepreneurship and culture. His involvement in the revitalization of downtown Bryan, Texas, has been instrumental in the economic, cultural, and professional development. He has over a decade and a half of web development and electronic collaboration experience. Cody Marks Bailey began his career working for VA Linux Systems while in high school in South Texas. In his spare time, he's an avid gamer, learner, and music producer. Cody, welcome to Fast Forward Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. And our last guest tonight is Baron Reichardt von Wolfschild. He's a chief software architect, CTO, and co-founder of QTask, where he specializes in complex platform software architecture, including accelerated cross-platform development, lossless compression technology, encryption gambling systems, and multi-point real-time communication systems. He has played a key role in the conception and creation of a wide array of entertainment titles, including Who Framed Roger Rabbit, Die Hard, Walt Disney World, Quest, Magical Racing Tour, 102 Dalmatians, Matchbox, Caterpillar Construction Zone, Caterpillar Gold Mining, Hot Wheels Crash, it goes on and on, guys. Chic, Fairy Tale, Freakdown, and Shrek, Swamp Cart, Speedway, among many others. Plus, he has designed and created the award-winning Walt Disney Animation Studio and the multi-million-dollar original video game franchise Return Fire. In addition to lecturing at universities and speaking at industry conferences, Reichert has appeared in magazines such as Time, Life, and Business Week. He has made appearances on MTV, CNET, and All Games Radio, and has been featured on Entertainment Tonight. Von Wolfschild is also a co-organizer of the Bill Unconference and a co-founder of the international HikeTheGeek.com. Welcome, Reichert.
Thank you. Great having you back on, Reichert. I don't think we've spoken to you since the world transformed. That's been almost 2 years ago, so we've been remiss in catching up with you. I'm glad we have this opportunity. Well, that's our panel, and that's all the time we have this evening. So thanks, everyone, for joining Fast Forward Radio. These are interesting people. There's a lot to say about them, so it takes a minute to get the introductions out of the way. But want to set the stage here, talking about what went on at the Bill Conference a few weeks ago. And I noticed that we've got multiple people who are co-founders of the event on with us this evening. So I'm just going to put this one out to the group. I'll try to ask specific questions to specific individuals as we go. But who had the original idea? Who said, hey, we got to do this thing called Bill?
This is Cody. The way it started was it was sort of in a jovial manner, I think, as Reichert put it. A group of us had the idea of going out to Monterey, California, to go basically crash the TED conference and, you know, hang around the outside of the event and sort of rub elbows with the people who were going to be, you know, in around that area at night and on the weekend and stuff following the actual TED conference. And so the word kind of spread quickly through Bill Erickson and Todd Huffman, and 3 became 5, became 10, became 15, and so on. And so once we got to a certain level, I guess we realized that it was going to be kind of hard to crash or sneak in anywhere with that many people, so we decided to start this little Bill conference.
And who came up with the name Bill?
That's Reichert.
It was an excellent adventure, right? I mean, that's the reference, right?
It was actually one of those things where after Cody and a small group of people had put it together, we have a common friend, Todd Huffman, and Todd and I were sitting around my kitchen and we're talking about it, and I said, you know, this is, you know, as he began to mention it, making it being more serious and growing, I'm like, you know, I've got a background in this. Why don't we make this more serious? I can bring on the power. I can bring on the big screens and projectors and all that stuff and help you organize. And he started mentioning some ideas he was playing around with, and we were kind of joking around about TED and playing off the name. And it was, again, all of this was sort of jovial. It was all, keep it light. But the ultimate concept was, as we were talking, was the fact that so many people were already instantly interested, we realized we could establish something original here. There were already some types of conferences happening out there, but with the quality of the people already signing up and asking they wanted to be part of this, these are all people who themselves may even speak at TED, but they're not going to go spend $6,000 to $7,000 for a seat. That's kind of over the top ridiculous, especially to hear our friends speak. So the idea of making this non-conference and making it free right down to the very core, that was when sort of the Bill and TED joke really kicked in. It was that attitude of let's be free, let's open this up to everybody, let's go have some fun.
Excellent. That's terrific. Now, does Bill stand for something?
Yes. We would like you to tell us.
Well, I've read bilateral intelligence and luminary in one story, and it seems like I've seen other things that it stands for as well. Is that right, or is there just one thing it stands for?
It's absolutely dynamic.
Yeah, pretty much whatever you want it to stand for that starts with B-I-L. So
it's really just
builders.
Go ahead, Cody.
I wasn't saying anything. No, I think this is right, Cart. Although we did key off the word builders, as in B-I-L-D-E-R, because a builder is somebody who builds something, and it's very similar in the philosophy of makers, but a builder is somebody who builds it right on the spot, right on the fly. They don't walk up to people at one of our conferences and say, hey, where's the coffee? They walk up and say, hey, can I bring some coffee? So build it, make it, you know, bring it on. So that it actually sort of coincidentally worked its way into that. And that wasn't our original concept. It's just that that's when you know you've got some magic going, is when you can use something in multiple ways.
Sure, starts to grow in some interesting directions like that. Well, I love the idea of this kind of guerrilla, hey, let's go crash TED, that grows into its own event. And I was reading some of the press around it, and one article that was very interesting was this, here's your choices. You could go to this one, and it's got this demographic, and it costs $4,000, or you can go to this one, and it's got this very different demographic, and you have to bring your own food, and it's free. But don't get the idea that you're not going to get good content. They start talking about what kinds of subjects are discussed at Bill versus what kinds of subjects are discussed at TED. Have you had any feedback at all from the TED folks? Are they aware of your existence? And if so, what do they have to say about it? I'll give that to Alexis. Is that you laughing? You sound amused by that. Why don't you take it?
Sorry, that was Simone.
Oh, okay, Simone. Go ahead.
I think Cody would speak best to the TED response.
So the first year that we did Bill out in Monterey, we had someone, I forget who it was giving a talk on how to crash TED, basically. And when TED found out about that, they were a little apprehensive about our existence, I guess. And what they had, I believe they contacted Todd Huffman a few months, or I guess a couple weeks before Bill happened, and asked them, hey, what's going on with this? Are we going to have is this going to be a problem? Are there people going to be crashing this thing? Is this something we need to let security know about? You know, kind of with a not knowing what was going on, what was brewing across the street. And Todd, so he normally, as he normally does, came up with a really ingenious way of fixing this problem, saying, hey, why don't we move this talk to the end of Bill, where TED is already cleared out and TED is already over and done with, and we'll give you the next year on to figure out how to solve the problem that we were posing, I guess. And so that was the first contact we had with TED. And the community at large, we don't have a problem with TED, at least everyone that I'm in contact with. We don't really have a problem with the organization itself. It's we're celebrating the idea that TED sort of posed to the world, and we're taking it one step further and doing it sort of in a different way. So it's not a I'm sure TED has some feelings about us, but for the most part we've been friends, and we've just kind of left each other alone for the most part.
Well, the neat thing about it is it would be hard for them to really have a problem with you. You're not encroaching on their intellectual property in any way. And the whole thing started as a kind of a tribute to them, right? But what's really cool is as I read about the topics that went on, and I see how kind of well organized this has become, and what an event unto itself that it really is. It's not like you guys are going to be crashing TED anyway, because you've got your own thing going on.
Exactly.
Right.
And there was one other moment where Todd was talking about Todd Huffman was talking to someone from the organization, and they had mentioned that they would hate for any kind of problem to happen between us, but if they did, there might be possible legal ramifications or whatever. And Todd had just mentioned then had they had ever heard of the Barbara Streisand effect, as a way of sort of circumventing that problem from even rearing its head.
So for listeners not familiar, how does Barbra Streisand figure into this?
Riker, you know that story better than I do.
I can't repeat that on the radio. What I can tell you, though, is that when Bill's numbers are great enough and we know for a fact that we completely outnumbered Ted, hey, we're taking their ass.
Fair enough.
We'll just march right on over. And then the question is, now what you going to do? No, I'm kidding. We would never do that.
What will happen is they'll show up at Bill eventually, right? They're all going to say, hey, the great stuff's happening over there across the street, and they're going to come to you one day, I'm sure. So
yeah.
Let's get a little flavor around what occurred at Bill. Everyone on the show here this evening gave a talk. Is that correct? Have I said a true thing?
Alexis gave a talk.
Alexis, you should actually speak to this, in fact.
Yeah. So I gave a talk. Reichardt was MC. I think Simone was busy like managing a lot of stuff, and then I'm not sure if Cody gave a talk or not.
No,
okay.
I didn't.
So Cody did not. Okay, so it's the same question to each of you if you didn't give a talk, but it's just around the one you heard. But with Alexis, if you gave one, tell us about your talk.
Okay, my talk was called Cultivating a Mindset That Will Help You Survive and Thrive During the Zombie Apocalypse and Improve Your Life Today. So it was kind of humor. It was meant to be humorous and also sort of serious.
Well, the zombie part being the serious part, right? I mean,
yeah, of course. Well, I mean, zombies are a serious threat. Improving your life today, whatever.
That's what I was thinking, yeah. Well, listen,
yeah.
Zombies are very important to us on Fast Forward Radio. This is a topic that we come back to frequently. So, not to make you repeat your entire talk, but I want to be ready for the zombie apocalypse, and I wouldn't mind having a better life now. So what do I do?
So a couple of the major talking points without redoing the whole talk were cultivate compassion for self and others, grow your willpower, learn to tolerate distress while still being able to take action, figure out ways that you can shape your automatic behaviors, and I write things down for a reason because the last couple points aren't coming to me, but they did come to me during my talk. So I do have an audio recording of it somewhere, however.
Well, I'm sure somewhere in there is have a full clip of ammo on you at all time, right? Or is that...
Yes, but it's a very, like, having a full clip of ammo on you is not going to improve your life today. So it's sort of like if you were to take events.
The ones that work for both,
right?
I got you. Okay.
Right, the ones that work for both, right? You want to be able to kill your friends should they get bitten during the zombie apocalypse, but killing your friends today would probably land you in jail, and that's not going to improve your life.
Or your friendship.
Absolutely.
Right, or your friendship, presumably.
You're pretty
if
dangerous.
Going to jail does improve your life, I feel really bad for you.
So now I've done unconference. I've worked with that format before. That's a lot of fun doing an unconference because you get this really just creative influx of material. And so my question to you is, was that an idea you had 2 days before, a week before? Had you been thinking about it for a couple of years, or was it something you thought of the day you gave it?
I'd been thinking about it for about a month, but it wasn't until the day before that I actually sat down, wrote out all my notes, and decided that, like, I actually didn't decide I was going to give it until I was actually at Bill. Like, until then, it was sort of like, you know, the proverbial cat. Like, you don't know if it's dead or alive until you open the box and do it. I didn't know if I was going to give it the talk or not until I was actually doing it. Because, you know, things happen. Like, Saturday I thought, oh, maybe I'll give my talk. But then, you know, we needed to do some scheduling changes because somebody that came out here specifically for Bill could only be here Saturday. So I'm like, okay, you know what? You can have my time slot. So I didn't know that I was doing it Saturday.
The wonderful thing about the unconference is just how open-ended it can be. And just to explain that to folks listening who haven't participated, we've talked about unconferences before, but the schedule – the actual
who was saying what when and what was happening when, that gets decided when at Bill?
It varied from year to year. Traditionally, it's supposed to be decided the day of. The second year, we experimented by having people sign up on a website and vote. People would sign up for their talks, give a little bit about their presentations, and then other people would vote. So then based on who got the highest level of votes, we would put them, and what their scheduling, their time limit requests were, we would schedule them in advance based on voting. So it was a little bit more like a traditional conference. And this year we wanted to get away from that. So we went back to, and that was in 2009 that we sort of pre-curated what was going on. So this year,
I like the spontaneous idea a lot better. I have to say,
yeah.
I like the idea that that just about anything can happen. It's not that anything can happen, but just about anything. Well, we're gonna come back to you and ask about other talks that you heard that really made an impression. But I want to just to get a flavor for what different things were talked about. Cody, we'll go to you. A talk that you heard that really made an impression, or the one that stands out in your mind at Bill.
There was a gentleman speaking, and I'll have to look it up while I'm talking, about the different nootropics that are out on the market and that are available. It's one of those things where there's a lot of pharmaceutical information out on the web, and it's kind of hard to digest because most of it's in a real technical form, and I don't really have a background like that. So having someone, give a good 20 to 30 minute speech on the different pharmaceutical drugs that are out there on the market for bettering the way the mind works was really handy. That was one that I kind of stumbled upon it because I think the topic of the actual name of the talk wasn't very specific. I didn't really know what I was walking into, and I sat down and went, oh, wow, this is exactly what I've been kind of waiting to hear. And so that was one that really caught my attention. And then the other was a guy was doing some biohacking with EEGs, which are the little the sensors you put on your head to basically kind of read the activity in the brain, and some of the open source software that's being written to read from the closed source hardware, and then some of the newer open source hardware products that are going to be coming out in the next year or so.
So what was he doing with the EEG? He was reading his brain waves into a computer. What was the point of that?
Well, he actually didn't do a demonstration there. He was just talking about the different things that can be done. One of the things I thought was kind of funny and goofy at the same time, but it was a really good example. People are using these EEGs to sort of control what their character on World of Warcraft does. And so they can actually cast spells by just thinking about it, by thinking of a certain spell, and it would be casted instead of having to type in a command or click the mouse on a button. And so it was a really, really interesting that was kind of an anecdotal reason why you wanted to get into this sort of thing. And, and if you take it from there and extrapolate it out, there's plenty of ways you can just, like, you know, if you're able to do this in your car, then you can turn your blinker on without having to use your hand, or you have just more sensory input and output with your body.
That one was really interesting. I actually played with that device. I don't know if at Bill we got to play with that device, but I played with it later on. And there's some really interesting stuff coming out of those kids, the biohacking kids.
Well, that's an area to watch for sure. That's, you know, just it seems like the potential for that is almost unlimited.
And I wanted to mention real quick that David Asprey was the biohacking guy, and Jonathan Tumen was the one who had the really cool EEG interface.
Excellent. Oh, Rick, you were the MC, is that right?
Correct.
It's hard to play favorites, I guess, when you're the MC, but does a particular speech stand out in your mind?
Oh, no, it's actually really easy to hate a lot of people, and you want to come off stage as fast as physically possible. Jokes aside, this is an incredible cross-section of people, and there's two quick things I'll mention. One is that both this bill and the previous bills, although it is somewhat random, it's not completely random. These are all people who know that they're going to have a very serious audience and some amazing people sitting in the audience. These are the people who build and create, you know, Yahoo and products at Microsoft and Google and, you know, technology products, you know, Baxter and, you know, blood thinners and lots of professors and grad students and researchers and scientists from all over the world. And so you get this amazing cross-section. So you can't just get up on stage and just talk your head off. You've got to recognize, and we try to get this clear to people when they decide to talk, because although it's open, we warn as many people as we can. It's like, look, watch the videos. Be aware of what the competition here looks like. They expect a good show. Don't just get up in front of the microphone. So that's one important thing. So you end up getting a slightly better quality of people because of that. The theme side is the most interesting to me. It's not any one specific person speaking. There is one underlying value to all of Bill, the thing that I think is the most important thing. This is a chance for amazing people to meet other amazing people. It doesn't matter if your amazing aspect is a famous concept. It doesn't matter whether you're a famous person. What matters is you tend to know something, or you care about something, or you're interested in something, and you can make a change in that in the future. You're very well going to meet the person you're going to work with or the team you're going to be part of at Bill. That's what I love watching. So, like, on the very first day of Bill, this last one at this gigantic Queen Mary, it was an amazing venue. The very first day, of course, there's, you know, this is a lot of technical people that are not used to being out and being social, and so they're somewhat cold. And we try to warm it up as much as we can. We try to get people talking to each other. When everyone starts to talk to one of us, we kind of redirect them to other humans. So they don't do that thing where they pick one person, target on them, and then they're talking to one of us because we're one of the Bill creators or people running it at this moment. We want them talking to each other. And the second day happens, and it usually kicks in on the second day right around before noon. People start to clump in beautiful ways. They've met each other. They've heard each other the day before. They heard some talks already happening. Now they have something to talk about, and they start realizing what they have in common. And this particular Bill, the theme was clearly DNA manipulation. We had at least 15 talks that revolved around modifying ourselves, being aware of ourselves at the cellular level, at the DNA level, at the nutritional level, and actual hackers that are manipulating proteins, DNA, building printers, making this all open. They themselves run their own open groups. And then professionals, people who actually design, you know, professional equipment for some of the big companies that are out there. I had a list of people from, one group was from Pacific Biosciences. They wish they could come on down. The timing was just really tight on this. But next year, the odds are they will. And these are the guys who make the printers that do DNA sequencing. That's the theme. But next year's theme could, in fact, change. And next year's theme could be on painting houses or architecture. And we've had. Cameron Sinclair gave a talk at one of our Bills, you know, open architecture. He's going around the world and building homes for people that don't have homes. And he's telling people how they can do it, too. So the open community crossing over and the themes. So I don't actually have a favorite. What I mostly care about is quality and that people are functionally using this venue to meet each other. Now I'll shut up.
Well, I love the idea of those affinity groups forming. That dynamic is a really interesting thing to see happen in that kind of setting. I would imagine it makes you wish that it was going on for more than what is it, a 2-day event, 3-day event?
It's a 2-day event with a meet and greet Friday evening.
Right. So what I've observed about those kinds of things is it seems like you really start to click and then, oh, darn, it's over. But that's also part of the charm as well, I think, for something like that. Interesting, Reichardt, that you mentioned the kind of emergent theme around DNA. You know, we had Christine Peterson on a few months ago when she was organizing her personalized life extension conference. And from talking to her about that and also from watching the live stream of some of that conference, that seemed to be very much an emergent theme there as well. Obviously, that's something that people are going to be talking about at a life extension conference anyway. But the whole idea of people kind of hacking themselves, people quantifying what's happening with their bodies, keeping track of what's happening with their bodies, measuring it, and trying stuff out on themselves, that seems to be a very pervasive idea. And I think it's interesting that when you put on something like an unconference, when you have people show up and say, here, talk about what's important, that it really provides an opportunity for things like that to emerge. Whereas if you came in with a set agenda, if you said Bill 2011 is all about gamification of social media or something like that, I mean, you could pick a really hot topic, but you wouldn't actually learn what's kind of on the cusp, right? What people are actually showing a new interest in.
Exactly. Well, first off, Ms. Peterson was at Bill 1, and that's the thing, is that the cross section, the number of people that show up at these, sometimes we even can't keep track of everybody that comes, everybody that passes through the bill itself or becomes part of Bill, but it's an amazing place to meet people that way, and you have to keep it dynamic. So right to your point, we could set a theme. What we're more likely to do is, and this Simone even pushed this, Alexis pushed this as well for this one, is get yourself onto the wiki. You can modify yourself, group yourself together, and that way, the moment you start telling people who's going to be there, other people then start recognizing sort of the free-formness of it, and they can step up and do it themselves. One of the things I'm working on for next bill is sort of an icon system, so that you can grab easily an icon off the wiki. We use PB Wiki. You know, it's open. People can add themselves. They can modify their own bios as they like, tell the rest of the world what's going on, and it also forms dynamically. But you can grab some icons and say, look, I'm into bio, or I'm into computers, or I'm into cell phones, or application games or something, and sort of badge yourself with these to quickly identify. And we may even take this out to the physical world, so when you're walking around, you can quickly look across the room and say, oh, hey, there's somebody with, you know, a biohackers icon, and whatever that symbol ends up being. And so we end up hopefully with like a core group of simple icons you can see from across the room and start recognizing those people that have the same interest that you have in interest in.
That's a great idea. That's cool to think about using just a very simple visual cue like that to kind of help those I'm calling them affinity groups, but those kind of natural interest groups that form on their own, kind of give them a cue to help to sort of help jumpstart that process.
Agreed.
Okay, I think Simone, you're the one who has not yet been asked the question. What was your most interesting, most fascinating, most unexpected revelation from a talk at Bill?
Oh, good Lord. I wish that I had been able to participate in more of the talks, but generally speaking, I was upstairs kind of making sure that things were running smoothly so that the venue was three decks that had a huge atrium in the center. And so you could basically, if you were at any point in the venue, see what was going on around you. So I maintained like kind of the offices, so to speak, upstairs. But I actually, what was interesting was the fact that we did see this emergent kind of biology, you know, genetics, talks kind of coming out, which we absolutely did not expect. And I can absolutely attribute that to the fact that a majority of the group, about 100 of us, had recently gotten our 23andMe results back. And I think all of us were kind of really excited to look at ourselves and then look at what the genetic data was telling us. And in fact, I was trying to prepare a talk on histocompatibility and love, but unfortunately was not able to find the time to actually compile it together.
Well, here's your big chance. Step us through. What's the common thread there between histocompatibility and love?
Well, what was interesting is that I've always had primarily my talk was going to be from an anecdotal evidence point of view, and then obviously bring in my schooling in evolutionary biology into it. But what I kind of found out that I have a very particular taste in men, and when I started digging through my data, I started seeing that. Both sides of my family come from a very particular haplogroup, and so it makes sense that I'm primarily attracted to one type of guy, German and what have you. And so what was interesting was when the 23andMe results started coming in and I started kind of digging through people's data and seeing, what I thought I would be compatible with, and then actually meeting them in person, the biophysical reaction was really phenomenal. And so I think that it was a really, really interesting result.
That's fascinating.
And Alexis is writing to me right now that she wants to see how many nice babies I can make with how many nice men. It's a little bit creepy.
That'll be a report you get back at TED one of these days, right? When you
right.
The characterization of TED for the somewhat older crowd. You know, once you've completed this research and you've produced numerous offspring as a result. So just to make sure I understand what you're talking about.
The guys in the chat say that they've lost sound.
Well, Stephen,
okay.
Thoughts on that?
Okay,
we are having a lot of technical difficulties this evening. I can't get into chat. Stephen can't get into chat. So I'm really glad that we've got some of our panel on the chat room.
Yeah, I tried to log in with several different browsers. I wasn't able to get in, but Alexis was. But she went in through Facebook, apparently.
Yeah,
that worked.
And I am in through Facebook as well.
Huh. I suggest we soldier on. Hopefully the live feed will get going again. There's no box to kick, unfortunately.
Yeah, there's nothing to hit. When we do the program, this is all still being recorded. If we can still hear each other, that means that Fast Forward Radio is still recording it. So the archive show will be intact, and the large share of our audience is the downloading audience. Although we hope that they can hear us again here in just a moment. So let's see, where did that put us? Oh, we were talking about histocompatibility and love. Now, it sounds like the markers and characteristics that you were talking about, that goes a lot deeper than just blood type. Is that right? You're talking about something significantly.
Oh, absolutely. Basically, what I'm looking for is people who are not necessarily histocompatible with me, meaning that they are they have histomarkers that are not something that I personally have. That way that when we combine DNA and possibly make a child, that child will have variable, like the ability to fight off multiple diseases instead of, just the few that I can. So again, this is going really far into the future in terms of having kids and stuff, but it's interesting to see, like, what reaction your body has to people that you know you could possibly make really good babies with. And so it's not just seeing someone and being attracted to them, but then you start to realize how much genetic data is actually going into it as well.
Well, it just goes to show you that whole notion of chemistry wasn't just a metaphor, was it?
Right, it absolutely isn't. And so this is a very cool idea. Hopefully I'll be able to present it maybe at a later bill, like possibly Bill Pill, or maybe I can get a couple of ex-boyfriends' DNA up in there and see, maybe make some comparisons.
Put it up
but,
there, show where their DNA went wrong, right? Show why their ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly. but the interesting thing that's kind of happened out of it, and Alexis is going to get a kick out of this, I have now gotten to the point where I refuse to date anyone unless they have a 23andMe profile. End of story.
Oh, they should use that in their advertising. They really should.
Well, that's great. Kevin Kelly talks about the quantified self. So, I think maybe even more important is the quantified significant other, right? Getting the crucial data on who you're dating. Okay, so let's talk. I think we went all the way around then on what was discussed, but maybe we'll go back once more around and talk about let's talk a little bit about what wasn't there. Maybe what you'd like to see in future bills or ideas that you got. Riker gave us one interesting idea for an organizational scheme for future bills. We'll start with you on that, Alexis. What would you like to see happen with Bill long term, either topics you'd like to see discussed or just kind of the future of the conference?
So one of the things I actually really like about Bill is that there's been a slight, somewhat new influx of organizers every year. And so, I wasn't on Bill 2010. I didn't even plan to organize. So, what I like to see is, new people coming in, new people doing things. Every, you know, I also like to the experimental aspect of it. Some bills have had side rooms where people can show some of the things that they've worked on or produced or done, and I'd like to see more of that. I'd like to see possibly more humanities type stuff or more like world improvement type stuff. I'd like to see a little bit better polish in terms of the talks that are given. There are some talks that are very good and some talks, of course, need a little bit of polish, but I think that's true of every conference. And I'd actually like it to be a little bit longer in the sense of maybe a 2.5-day thing.
No doubt. Give
an extra, you know, some more time to get to know each other. So
That's a good idea. Well, how long does TED go on?
I think it's like a week. I actually have no idea.
Yeah,
I think it's 7 days.
It's Monday through Friday, and then on Saturday they have a light day. And then Saturday night they have their sort of post party. So generally about 6, but then that bleeds over into Sunday as well because most people are flying out.
Well, that's too much.
They're
doing too much. But I guess they want people to get their $4,000 worth, right? But I think you guys could easily add another day on bill for sure.
Well, first of all, TED is $6,000, I think.
Oh,
and
there
then, you go. But it's going to be $7,500 this coming year,
wow.
Which I think that we didn't talk about the fact that Bill, the entire budget for Bill, and this is detracting just a little bit, but the entire budget for Bill, we try to make sure that it is always less the price than a TED ticket, less the price
a single
than a
TED ticket. That's cool.
A single TED ticket. So thankfully, we've got another $1,500 to play with next year. But
yeah, they're helping you out. Huh?
Right.
But
well,
to go back
and
to.
Sorry, just one of the, that also doesn't include, like, people donate things. Like, somebody donated, like, coffee one day. Somebody donated, like, they basically, our attendees went out and said, hey, we want to figure out how to get, you know, lunch donated. Ask.com, who was amazing, donated our meet and greet Friday night. Like, so these are things that we don't have to necessarily fundraise for or request donations. Like, our guests and the attendees, like, they come up with this stuff themselves, and that's truly amazing. And I actually, like, they already do an amazing job, and I'd like to see even more people step up to the plate. Like, I think people will be surprised at how much they can get done if they give themselves a chance.
So
I think with this coming year... Uh-huh.
I want you go first, and I'll go after you.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. I was saying to respond with Alexis's. I think with this coming year, now that we know already when Bill is going to happen, because we have preliminarily booked the venue again, and this time it's a year in advance instead of 2.5 weeks in advance. so, hey, shout out for Bill 2012, the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th of March. I think we're going to actually try and make it 3 days, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, instead of just Saturday and Sunday. At least, you know, socializing a whole bunch on Friday, you know, at the venue, perhaps. And that way we can also overlap a little bit with TED, because every year we've overlapped with TED by a day. And this past year we didn't, and we definitely saw a drop-off in TED attendees that were coming to Bill, TED speakers and attendees. So we would like to still kind of grab a couple of those people, I think.
A question from the chat room. I can see the chat now. I still can't participate. But the question is Bill a tax-exempt organization? If people make donations, is that a tax-free gift?
Yes.
Yeah. So what it is we have a supporting organization that's a nonprofit that whose interests usually tend to overlap with ours, and so donations are made to them, and then they put together a fund to pay out debt for the conference.
Excellent. Okay, so I think who's next? Cody, tell us about your hopes and aspirations for Bill. Ted, they got to figure out their own plan. We're not going to do that for them.
So, did you say for me, for Cody?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I kind of enjoy, there's a bit of chaos that goes on with TED every year, or with Bill every year. And not the kind of chaos that, that breaks chairs and gives you a bloody nose and trashes everywhere and stuff like that. But there's a certain organized chaos that that I kind of enjoy. It's the things that happen sort of at night and afterwards and during the day where groups will split off. I remember the first year when we were in Monterey, there was a overflow. We didn't book a big enough space because at the time, you know, we didn't know how many people were coming, and we ended up having to send people back or send people away or tell people don't come, come next year because we simply don't have the room for you. Since we were overbooked, people decided to start giving talks out of trees and go to the park and do a walk while they were talking and stuff. And so you had these sort of Socrates-esque walks around parks with people talking about different subjects and stuff. And they would go do a 30-minute walk through the park and then come back and drop everybody back off and then, you know, stuff like that. And so there's that sort of chaos where people just sort of figure out, and that's where the magic in Bill happens, and sort of the when things get improvised and things get you dash a little bit, you sprinkle a little magic in there, and that's kind of what makes the whole thing pop for me myself.
Very cool. So Reichert, how about you?
Well, again, I come back to the core issue for me. This is about meeting people that are amazing, incredible, like-minded, becoming aware of things you weren't aware of before. We sort of hit on it lightly that obviously we're kind of dedicated to this, and that's something we're going to keep growing it. There's a thing that was started, I think, by O'Reilly, which was Foo Camp, and then a bunch of people sort of had a similar reaction to that, and they started Bar Camp, and Bar Camp was sort of the free version of Foo Camp. And then Bill has some similarities to all of these different systems, TED being one of them, you know, kicking it up a notch and focusing it on some really earth-shattering ideas. But I think that the next level is, and actually before I even say this, I want to go back to our roots. One of the things that Cody and I even recall Alexis and Todd and a few others, we all talked about early on was places to sleep or just hang out with each other, because a lot of us don't kind of go back to a room at a hotel. We would hang out. Maybe we'll sleep for a few hours and we'll just get back up and keep doing things. And what could be better than being with these incredible people and friends, people you may already know, new people you've just met, and really spend an immersive period of time together, 3, 4, 5 days even. And, you know, many of us are people who have attended Burning Man. There's a lot of overlap with that as well. It's really dusty and dirty, and it's a long trip out there, I got to tell you. As much as I love Burning Man, it's not something I could do very often. But what I would look forward to is maybe taking over some buildings, maybe on a city block, that are perhaps abandoned or empty, but safe. We'll make sure everything's safe. The Queen Mary may function this way as long as we can work with them on this, but the idea is that we can really be there the whole time. So the Queen Mary's example, they shut it down at sometime at night and sometime in the morning. That doesn't mean that it has to be that way. We have to discuss it with them and find out what's safe and what regulations allow. But the key to me in the future is really having sort of that freedom for several days in a row after you've gotten a chance just to hear people talk and get to know each other, that you can really get to know people at the next level. You get to know them outside of the, you know, the suit and the tie and the standing up and talking. So that's probably where I'm going with it mentally. It doesn't mean it's going to happen that way. There has to be enough other people that are interested in it. But almost not so much changing the name of it, but thinking in terms of taking Build to being just Builder. At Builder, we all build something. We are really actually making something together. We may even physically work on something physical there, maybe physically building something or bringing stuff to it and getting people to bring a lot more of the stuff they're working on. When you have a short period of time, the commitment isn't worth it. We worked on getting like one of the early electric cars out to Bill when we were doing it originally, and timing was just bad. We missed it by like one day. But if we have more warning, I have a lot of friends that have a lot of amazing toys, and they're going to drag that stuff in. And they wouldn't drag it out to a playa, in other words, out to the desert, but they would drag it into a building and show it off. And so having a free form for that, I think, is an important concept. And I'll mention one more quick thing. So, you know, we mentioned that Ask was one of our sponsors, and they kicked ass. They came in, they brought in bean bags, which is key because it gave people the place to sit in a very big location, and people immediately started using it. They brought in more things. More people brought their own bean bags from home, and it began to grow, a typical thing that happens at Bill. But they were also that week debuting their new technology, which was a location-based chat system. And so it was like Twitter, but location-based for people that were near you, and it kind of tied in with exactly what we were doing. That's another good example of this. We want other people to come and show stuff. We're not telling people they have to pay to be in it. This isn't the formal thing where it's like, if you don't pay, you don't get to be here. No, actually, everyone's welcome to show stuff. Don't try to sell your stuff to people. You better have something really impressive that other people want to check out and play with. But this is the venue for that. With having a couple of more days tacked on, they would do this in a heartbeat. So that's what I see happening next.
Very cool. Okay, well, I see we've got about 5 minutes left, Stephen, so one more question for the panel.
Yeah, I'm going to just kind of let it be kind of freeform, a little bit like Bill. Just throw this out to the panel. Most bizarre / entertaining thing that happened are, you know, anything that you haven't had a chance to say tonight. I guess we'll start with you, Simone.
Oh, good Lord. Bizarre/entertaining thing.
or something about Bill that you'd like to share you hadn't had a chance to.
I just would like to share the fact that I am so impressed with how everything came together in a matter of a couple of weeks. Although we didn't have the biggest turnout we've ever had, people were so very looking forward to coming to Bill because it is a time when our community, we have like a very large kind of techno-progressive burner community that is central to Bill that try to make it out every year. And then, you know, off of that, we branch out into like other friends and things like that. So I was just so impressed with the effort that everyone made to get their asses down to Bill and you know, really make it something that was memorable and exciting and this community venture where we were able to get in contact with each other again. We had a reunion of sorts. We see each other maybe 2 or 3 times a year, and Bill is one of those events. And so hopefully next year we will make it even bigger and better, and we will continue to grow and foster this community in a really good way. So I was really excited just to see everyone. But I was just excited at the turnout, and I was excited at the caliber of the talks, and I was excited at how excited everyone was.
Awesome. Same question, Cody. Something that was a little different, a little bizarre, maybe entertaining that happened, or just something that you'd like to share with everybody.
Well, I was trying to think of an interesting story to tell, and there's quite a few, but one that made me kind of chuckle here, and I think I'm gonna go with this story. It was the very first year in Monterey. We'd rented this kind of a youth center, and we rented it. We looked at Google Maps to find out where it was and what it looked like, and try to get as good a view and as good an idea of what it was remotely. Before we didn't have the ability to show up and actually tour the facility ourselves. So we did this, and the night before, I think it was like Thursday night. Bill happened to be on Friday and Saturday, I believe, that year. Maybe it may have been Saturday and Saturday. Anyway, we got there the night before, and we realized that the youth center didn't have internet. And so we were scrambling, going, okay, how do we get internet there? We're thinking, okay, can we do satellite? No, that's not going to work. It's too expensive and too late to try to get satellite in. Can we maybe order DSL? No, that's not going to work. That's going to be the bureaucracy will chew that up real quick. And then we realized that we have internet at our hotel room. So we went and asked the people at the hotel that we were at, which was only about maybe 500 yards away from where the event was going to take place. We asked them, we said, hey, can we use the internet here throughout the 3 days that we're staying here? They said, yes. I said, okay, that's all I needed. That was the only answer we needed. And I think Reichart was one of the sort of architect of this with Michael Cummings to set up a series of internet repeaters, like kind of routers that repeated this, these Meraki devices, across the park at like 4 in the morning, trying to bridge this network over from tree to tree to tree, over to the city. Now, we didn't have a whole lot of bandwidth, but it was enough to sort of get the tweets out and the blog posts and stuff like that and the really vital pieces. And then people started showing up with their air cards, and they were you know, you have a bunch of Linux hackers and stuff like that there, so they were all plugging in and sharing bandwidth where they could. But that was kind of one of the things I was like, wow, that was a really ingenious way of solving this pretty technically hard problem.
I love that story. That's great.
That's a great story. I love that image.
Riker, do you have a similar story or something you'd like to share?
Yeah, I'm going to hit on two real quick ones. One is somebody who's joined us twice at Bill, a gentleman by the name of Dean, who's just one of these guys that normally is pretty quiet. You don't notice him, but he's the audio guy. He's the guy who, you know, he just shows up and bam, you've got found. He's the guy who's cute, and he's such a pro. And it really is like just add water and you've got a show. And if you don't have that guy, if you don't have those people, there's a guy named Alex who stepped up and did all our video streaming, and you can go to the website and find out more about this guy. He just stepped up, brought, you know, tens of thousands of dollars worth of equipment. He was actually doing concerts, you know, professional concerts and television shows, and he just out of nowhere stepped up to our show to do this. The thing I really want to key on here is amazing people stepping out of the woodwork to be part of an instant community. And then I want to focus on the second thing, which is one of our co-founders who couldn't be here for this talk because he's on the road right now. In fact, he just came back from Afghanistan. Is Todd Huffman. And Todd is very recognizable visually. He has a very long red beard, good-looking guy. And when people see him, they don't really realize how deep he is and what he's willing to do. And even I learned a great deal about him at the first Bill. That's where I really gained a deep appreciation of him. And it was at the end of the day, and we had to clean up very quickly. And the reason was we weren't told exactly when we had to leave. And when we did decide to leave, because they told us we had to, we made the decision to have everybody help and clean up. And we left the place spotless. We left the place cleaner than they had ever seen it. And that is true of every place we've ever gone. We leave it better. We fix things. We have a ton of electrical engineers. We fix electrical outlets. We fix wiring. Anything that we see that even seems broken, even if it was already broken, we fix it. We pull tape off. We clean things. But the most impressive part to me was Todd himself, because the bathrooms were spotless when we left. Spotless. And Todd had done it himself. He had gone into the bathroom, got the maps out and washed the thing from top to bottom and cleaned the toilets, wiped it all down, dried it all off. It was sparkly. And I sat there with him and I said, hey, you did that. And he goes, yeah, you know, I don't mind. I'm like, you know, I'm a bit older than the rest of the group of Bill co-founders. And I'm like, you know, I don't see this very often in young people. I don't see that willingness to, you know, truly roll up your sleeves and do the crappy work. And you literally did the crappy work. And I'm really impressed. And he said, yeah, well, you know, I used to be an orderly. I used to work in an old folks' home, and, you know, I'm used to it. And, like, to him it was sort of nonchalant, but, you know, it's probably one of the heaviest things I've seen done. And it doesn't just renew my faith in the next generation. Watching the whole thing, it was symbolic of everything. So it wasn't about technology, and it wasn't about DNA or, you know, what computer I just built. He cleaned the toilets. Wow, I'm impressed.
That's really stepping up. That is impressive. And
exactly.
Let me tell you, that's impressive coming from any generation. Actually, that's a nice gesture when somebody steps up to that level.
Absolutely. Well, Alexis, I think you're the last one. Do you have a story to tell?
My favorite thing that happened at Bill this year that I feel really excited about is that I tweeted a fantasy speaker lineup about who I would like to come speak at Bill, and 50% of the people that I wanted, like, said yes. And so David Asprey, one of the guys that gave a talk about biohacking, you can see his Bill talk at thebulletproofexecutive.com. He came. I'd never met the guy, and he showed up. And, like, I love the power of the internet and the power of Twitter and strangers coming together and people that just get it, that get it and do it. And there's so much diversity in Bill. Like, there are a lot of people that are into genetics and into transhumanism, future technologies, things like that. But there are also people that are interested in humanities, that are interested in complex systems, that are interested in entertainment. For example, Javier Griot Markswatch came and spoke this year at Bill. He is best known for being a writer and co-producer of Lost, and several people that were his fans came because he was coming to speak at Go. And so there's such a huge, you know, there's more diversity at Bill, and everybody's so open and friendly, and, you know, it would be awesome if you guys came and see, you know, just come and see for yourself what it's like. The other thing that I think is really cool is that every year we get a sponsoring organization to help us, you know, to go back to that tax-deductible thing. This year it was Open Science Summit, and we are actually still taking donations to help us prepare and give us a little bit of lead time on next year's bill to make it even better. So if you wanted to donate, you can go check out our website at billconference.com, and that's just one L. The other thing is if you wanted to organize your own bill, that would also be really amazing. Like, we love it when people organize their own bills. You can find out more about our website. But, yeah, no, there's been Bill Chennai in India. There's been Bill Afghanistan. There's been Bill Pill in San Diego. Simone did a Sustainabill in Arizona. So, yeah, like, organize your own bill. Like, if you need help, ask us. If you want to help on this one, let us know what you can do. Come for yourself. See it. Do it. Be it. Like, it's a great practice ground. You want to try something new? Do it. It's a really safe environment to do something new in. So I love the diversity, and I love new people that show up and do things.
Well, it sounds like it was a terrific event. It sounds like it's a terrific series of events and a great opportunity. Thank you all very much for being with us this evening, and wish you all the best of luck for future bill conferences. I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot from you in the years to come.
And we expect you,
you
at the next bill.
I think, Stephen, we should say that Fast Forward Radio is going to be at the next bill. One way or another.
That sounds awesome. I think that is good.
This is
we would love to have you.
Okay. That's, you know what? That's a deal. That is a done deal. We'll be there.
Right.
So
on.
What's our music this evening, Stephen?
Well, the song is, if you're going to do it right now. And the band, again, is Modern Science. We've been working their way through their latest EP, and these guys rock, so we've been enjoying it.
Okay, if you're going to do it right now. Commit to being part of Bill. Bill 2012 is just around the corner, and Fast Forward Radio is going to be there. Many thanks to our panel, Simone Syed, Alexis Bright, Cody Marks-Bailey, and Reichert von Wolfshield. Appreciate all of you spending the time with us. Thanks to our friends in the chat room. I think that we had a good chat going on, and that's probably just a small slice of people who were trying to get in, so appreciate everyone hanging in with us, everyone listening live, and everyone who listens to us via MP3. Thanks for being part of Fast Forward Radio. We'll be back on with a World Transformed 1.5 on Saturday. I'll be talking about the Make It Yourself World Archive show coming up on Monday. It's a fun show from 2008. Stephen, Michael Darling, and I talking about, actually we were trying out different segments for the show, some of which succeeded, some of which never went anywhere. 1 week from tonight, science fiction author Tobias Buckell will be joining us talking about his latest project, and we'll also probably get into the future of publishing. So hope you'll be able to join us for all of our upcoming programs, and until next time, live to see it.